Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Just wanted to take a brief moment to give you guys a little idea how we do it here at Paddle and Fin Podcast. We use the Anchor.fm recording platform. Super easy, distributes our podcast to many, many different platforms. There's creation tools to allow you to record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. Check out Anchor.fm or download the free Anchor app to get started. Paddle and Fin Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Brian. Tonight I'm flying solo. Scott's dealing with some stuff, so we didn't want to pass up on this guest. Tonight we got Corey Barnett from Savior Outdoors, one of the new innovative products that's on the fishing market, and we wanted to chat with him tonight, something that I believe all you guys should have on your gear and definitely be looking into. So without further ado, Corey, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for sitting down and chatting with us tonight. So, why don't you start off talking about, you know, kind of how you got into fishing and then how you came up with the idea of the actual retrieval device?
Well, how I came up with the actual idea of the retrieval device, it's been kind of a lifelong thing. And not that I've lost that many fishing rods, but as kids, I had a friend of mine that he'd come pick me up in his John boat. We lived on a lake back in Illinois, and he'd come pick me up on his John boat, and we'd go fish in the morning. And when it got hot at the end of the day, you know, we'd flip the boat over, and you know, through all that, we lost a couple rods, and you know, the idea just started bouncing around in my head. You know, even as a teenager, you know, I mean, the idea of getting a fishing rod back just always kind of intrigued me. So, we were fast forward about 25 years, I guess it was. And, my father-in-law and I, and, my brother-in-law too, we were fishing on Lake Barkley, and my father-in-law just flopped a rod in the water. I mean, wasn't anything he could do, wasn't anything he did. It's just one of those mistakes. You never know when it's going to happen.
Sure.
And, you know, he dropped that rod in the water, and it was just like, boom, a light bulb went off. And I was like, man, you know, there's got to be something out there. And we went to the tackle store and found a rod float. You know, everybody kind of put one on, and, you know, I was like, these things should work. But, man, it was just that I felt it, you know. And as it went further along, you know, it just became something that, you know, even though I want my fishing rod back, I don't want to feel something on a fishing rod that, or I don't want to know that there's something that is on that fishing rod that is going to do that for me. You know, I mean, and the only way to do that is to make something mechanical, shoot a float out, make something buoyant come up to the surface and make it small so that there's no feeling from that device. And that's just been kind of it's been 10 years, man. I mean, that idea came to me. My daughter's 11 now. She was one year old when this happened. And, you know, it took me years and years to develop it. I mean, just, we didn't have any money, you know what I mean? I just kept doing drawings, and I'd take one piece to, I'd take a group of pieces to another machinist so they wouldn't talk because I didn't have a patent.
Sure.
You know, I didn't know all the I'd take some pieces there, take them back, try them out, see if they'd work, and some of them did, some of them self-imploded. But for the most part, I still have all my prototypes, and you know, they all work. They all need to be refined. You know, it's just a trial and error process. You know, I mean, it just keeps going. You know, and still to this day, I mean, I still think of ways that I can improve it. You know, I mean, it's pretty refined now. I mean, we've got it down to a science on how to do everything with it, because it's so small that anything you do to it is can affect it because of the big device. So a little change is actually a big change in something like this. But yeah, I mean, it's turned into something. You know, I mean, you never buy it. You know, I mean, it's turned into the following. But it's just really cool. I mean, the people that I've met out of it, I mean, like Jay and all my photograph guys, it's awesome. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different, and it's cool because, like you said before, when you guys bought those floaties for your rods and stuff, like it doesn't impede the actual rod itself. So, you guys listening at home, like if you haven't seen this, basically it's just a piece that fits on your rod. It could be retrofitted on any rod, or you can buy some of Corey's rods with them already on there, and it's just a different butt end. I've seen them personally up close. It's nothing different than your normal split end rod. And I mean, that's the key thing about it, I think, is it's nothing that, you know, is hanging off your rod, getting in your way. It's just a normal fishing rod, and that's the coolest thing about it. So
right. And that's the way during development of it, you know, I mean, it's hard for people to understand, but if I could feel it on the fishing rod, I mean, it was pretty much a no go. You know, right. I mean, I was a clip on. I had it as a clip on piece for a while. And I mean, although it's great that way, I mean, and we probably would have sold a few more, but I mean, I had to go all in with going to and making it a glue on piece and putting it on the butt end of the rod, because it's such a much better product, especially for the bass fishing industry. Because I mean, you think about a bass fisherman, and you think about when he picks his rod up, you know, you don't want, especially being a fishing rod float, if there's our product, we don't want to impede fishing in any way.
Sure.
You know, I don't want the line getting tangled up. I don't want any of that. When I was developing it, if I could feel it on the fishing rod, I mean, it was, I ditched it, you know, and it just became something that, you know, I was like, man, it's going to have to be something that's so balanced and feel just like a regular fishing rod, that, you know, and pretty much no compromises is what I set out for on that. And that's why we went to the butt end of the rod too.
Sure.
So that it would do that. So.
I mean, you can be honest, man. All us bass fishermen, we're just a bunch of crybabies.
Well, I mean, not only that. I'm not saying that.
No, I know. I'm just joking.
It's not just that. It's just when you see a bass, when you know they're biting somewhere, or if you know there's a bass somewhere, and you're picking up four or five rods trying to get to a bass. You know, you've got three baits on your kayak or on the deck of your boat. I mean, you don't want to pick that thing up and have to deal with something with your line because of a rod float, because you may lose it. I mean, that's kind of been my way of thinking around it. You know, I mean, you might lose your fishing rod, but you know, you don't need something on your fishing rod every cast, you know, affecting every cast or the sensitivity of your rod until you do. So, I mean, that's kind of been the motto of it. You know,
sure.
I mean, that's kind of been the way that I've thought about it. You know, you don't ever go out thinking you're going to lose it, or you don't ever want to lose it.
Right.
You know, it's just a simple fact that, listen, if you need it, it's there. It's kind of like seatbelt.
Sure.
You know, or insurance.
Yeah, so. It's just a safety device for sure. I mean,
it's just a safety device.
Yeah, we told this story on an episode long ago, but I had an instance over the summer where I almost lost a rod. I was in a kayak fishing my local lake here, and I seen this bat swooping down, eating mosquitoes over the lake, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw something black behind me after I saw this bat flying around, and I'm like, man, that better not be the bat. And I kind of swatted my hand. Next thing you know, I feel something on my head. Well, me being the little sissy that I am, I dropped my rod, not thinking about it, and was like swatting at my hat because I thought there was a bat sitting on my head. And lo and behold, it was a moth. In the meantime, I'm like, where's my rod? Well, I dropped it. It was sinking in the lake. Luckily, I was able to retrieve it by sticking my paddle down in the water and pulling it back into the boat. But had I had, you know, the Savior retrieval device, I mean, it would have been no worries. And I think that's, I mean, like I said at the beginning, you know, it's like we as fishermen, we spend so much money on our gear, especially rods, reels, you know, lures, things like that. I mean, you can drop a rod, that could be $150 down the drain, you know? Whereas if you get the Savior device, off the top of my head, what's the retrieval device for a retrofitted rod? Like $30, right?
Yep, $30.
Yeah. I mean, $30 to save $150 makes sense to me. I've had numerous conversations with Jay about it, and he had an instance where he was heading out in a tournament and he lost his rod, didn't realize it. He was heading back into shore and he saw a Savior bobber floating in the water, and he's like, what the heck? And he looked back, sure enough, his rod was gone. He grabbed the bobber, pulled up the line, and bam, there was his rod. He's like, you know, had I not seen that bobber, I wouldn't have known, you know, but he's like, I was able to get my rod back and I didn't even know I lost it. I mean, that's just huge, man. And
he told me that story too, and I'm like,
right. Well,
did you get it on film? Did you have it taped? And he's like, I didn't.
Right. So. Well, I know the other night when we talked on the phone, you guys just posted a video from one of your pro staff guys. He was trolling, right, and reeling in a fish. His other line went off. It pulled his rod out, sunk to the bottom of the lake. He reeled in that fish, let it go, went over, grabbed the bobber, pulled his rod back in, and then fought the fish for a couple minutes, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. my first video that I made, we took a camera crew out, and all day it was me trying to catch a fish. You know, I mean, I, my buddy, my best friend, and that's him on his boat, out on my cousin's lake. Cause we know we can catch fish there. I mean, never been skunked at this place. Cause so that's why we went.
Sure.
And, you know, we, in all day we were trying to get me to catch a fish. he's up in the front just whacking them. I mean, caught a 3-pounder, caught a bunch of 2-pounders, 3-pounders, ended up catching a 5-pounder. And this is, we get to the end of the day, and he ends up catching the fish that is on that video. He actually caught. And I just, and he's got, and he has all Xavier retrieval devices on his rods too. And I just sitting in the back, I was just sitting in the back of the boat, and I said, hand it to me, Tobe. And it that was actually his rod. So I left the fish attached.
That's awesome.
And ended up throwing his rod, his reel, his fish, everything in the water. And ended up getting the rod and reel back and caught the fish for the second time.
That's cool.
With him. But yeah, man, I mean, it just, I was skunked all day long. I didn't catch a fish the whole day because it was, there's so much pressure on me to catch a fish. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. No, so. I hear you, man. I hear you. Yeah. That's sweet. That's sweet. So, I mean, let's kind of break down how the actual retrieval device works, so to speak. Say you have it retrofitted on your rod, or you have a Xavier rod. It drops in the water. What happens to make that bobber, so to speak, come to the surface and everything?
So what happens is it works very similar to an auto inflatable life jacket. I mean, everybody that's seen the auto inflatable life jackets, most of them will recognize the little yellow salt tablet that goes in there.
Okay.
And so what happens is, water goes in, dissolves that salt, and then it's just spring loaded, and it fires the float out, which is, and the float assembly is actually it's about 6 or 7 different pieces, but they're all bonded together.
Okay.
So it looks and feels like one, but all of them come with 60 feet of fishing line, and one end is tied to the body, which is glued onto your fishing rod, or epoxied onto your fishing rod, and that is your handle. And I mean, you grab a hold of it every time. But once that float comes to the surface, you just pull your rod and reel back up, and obviously, I mean, even if a fish pulls it over, I mean, it's potentially you can get your rod, reel, fish, everything back.
That's awesome.
You know, can't guarantee you're going to get fish back, but more than likely, we're going to get your rod and reel back for you. And, you know, once that salt dissolves, man, there's nothing it can do but just come out and float to the surface. You know, so we wind the line is wound on there and just eases its way up to the surface. And the buoyant part of it is just EVA foam, so that the natural feel of it is just like it, the end of it is just like a regular handle to your rod.
Sure.
That stuff's very buoyant. So what it does is it just comes to the surface. And over the last couple of years, you know, since we released it, what we've actually done, because when I released it, I thought that I had it sealed off enough to the elements to where it wouldn't go off. And right after we released it back in 2015, I think it was, you know, put it in a couple kayak anglers' hands, and every time they'd barely set it in the water, boom, it set it off. So what I've actually done is there's a, and this is a whole nother patent too, but, what I've actually done is seal it off, that there's a water permeable membrane on the back of it. And it's just a little black plug. And it's basically like a coffee filter.
Okay.
What happens is it's got to have water pressure for the water to actually get to the salt bobbin now. So, I mean, when you're fishing and you're, especially in a kayak, and it's designed for kayak anglers. And the reason I say that is because I want it to be, you guys are in the wettest conditions.
Sure.
And for a water activated device, I mean, we've got to cover all the bases with that. So, and what that little plug does is it just keeps it sealed enough, and it can't ever be sealed off 100%, or it'll never go off.
Right, right, right.
But what that does is it allows the water pressure to force its way in, and once it gets in, it forces the air out of the cavity of the body, and once it hits that, it dissolves the solvent, and then it shoots it out.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, because I know, you know, even me personally, when I'm out fishing, sometimes you're, you know, reaching over to pull a fish in, and you're kind of sticking the butt end of your rod in the water just a little bit.
Yep.
You know, you pull it out. So, yeah. So basically, what you're saying is it won't go off unless it's in water and, you know, it's pretty much sinking, so it's got some water pressure on it to you know, set it off. So
right. Well, now here's the deal. It'll go off at any depth.
Okay.
Now, it's got, but it at shallow depths, it's got to be in water for an extended period of time. I mean, if it's in 6 inches of water, you got to leave it in there all day for the water to eventually get into that salt tablet for it to go off.
Gotcha.
But in most cases, you're not leaving the butt of your rod in water all day long.
Right.
Or if you are, and you've invested in Save Your Outdoors, then I mean, we recommend that you just get them lifted up. You know, I mean, and almost all of the kayak fishing tackle boxes, the tackle bins with the rocket tubes on the side. I mean, they're all up and out of the bottom of your kayak and never have any issues.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's sweet. I mean, that's super cool. 'Cause I know that was, you know, a concern that I've seen when the product's actually been talked about is, you know, if I stick the butt end of my rod in the water, is it going to go off right away? So,
right.
And so say you do drop a rod, it goes off. You can order a kit, right, from Savior, and it's like a reload kit, and then put it all together, and then you're back to normal again, right?
Right. The reload kits are $8.95, and we've got videos and everything to show you how to reload it. You know, all the little things to look for. But once you do it once, man, it's so self-explanatory that it's super easy. So, the center screw of it is what compresses the spring. You don't have to try to compress a spring and then try to get a screw in and all that stuff. And everybody will see it on the website. But, the reload kit comes with a new spring and a new salt tablet too, because you end up losing a spring more than likely. People sometimes have an issue with that because and they want to try to tie the main line through the spring somehow. But man, I mean, it's just always scary to do that to try to run that and save a cheap spring.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So,
sure.
But yeah. So I mean, that's what comes with the reload kit.
Nice. So, can these be retrofitted on basically any type of fishing rod?
Basically any type of fishing rod. As long as it's hollow core, almost all the fishing rods are these days. I mean, I haven't run across one that isn't hollow core. A lot of your older style fishing rods were solid fiberglass cores, but nowadays everything's hollow core. I mean, the technology is such that, you know, they want them to be as light as possible. And that's another thing with the weight of it. It weighs 1.4 ounces, but all of the weight of it is at the butt of the fishing rod, and it counterbalances the tip heaviness of most fishing rods.
Sure.
So a lot of people like the feel of it. You know, it kind of balances the rod out nicely in their hands, and it's not so tip heavy, so it doesn't wear them out as fast.
Yeah, no, that's sweet. So I know the big thing is like how I hear a lot of guys like, I don't want to cut my rod up, you know, like how hard is this going to be? I mean, I actually fished with Jay over the weekend, and he was like, you know, the first time I did it, he was like, I was scared, man. I didn't know what I was doing. He's like, I called Corey, and he was like, just calm down, like super easy. And he did it once, and he's like, that's it? Like, it was that easy? He thought there was going to be more to it. And I mean, me personally, I've built some fishing rods. So, I mean, I kind of know how that stuff goes. So I mean, basically, what you're hacking off the butt end if you have a butt end on your rod, and
no, you're not. You don't have to hack anything until it. So all you're basically doing is you're taking off the grip.
Okay. Okay. The existing grip.
The existing grip. Now, if your grip is a longer grip, you may have to trim a little bit of the rod blank.
Okay.
But it's the most I've ever had to trim off of a rod blank is like a quarter of an inch.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
Because we want to utilize that rod blank for a solid base for it.
Sure.
Because this thing becomes the handle of your fishing rod. We don't want you to feel anything. So when this thing's on there, we want it to be rock solid and to the point where it's a natural feel. When you pick that rod up, we don't want it to change a whole lot from what you bought to what it is now after Savior's on there.
Gotcha.
So I mean, yeah, we utilize the rod blank. We want it to be there, and it's put on with your basic. All you need other than what we send you in the kit for the retrofits is some masking tape, and the rest of them are just hand tools, you know, a utility knife, you know, maybe a little bit of sandpaper. That's it.
Yeah. And then it just gets like it's like a two part epoxy system that, bonds it to the rod.
Right. And that's, you know, and that's what they use on all of your, on your reel seats and stuff like that.
Yep.
Anyways.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's all typical. And the masking tape, the only thing it's used for is just to build up. So the retrieval devices will fit all hollow core fishing rods up to 0.600 inches, which is about 5/8 of an inch.
Yeah. That's a pretty thick rod. Yep.
It's a pretty thick rod. So, anything smaller than that, you may have to put some masking tape on there to build that up so that then you can epoxy it, just so that there's a solid base underneath there.
Right.
And then once the epoxy sets up, it's good as gold. So you're ready to go.
Yeah, which I know from my experience just building some fishing rods, I mean, a lot of times that's how reel seats are put on rods, some of your cork grips, things of that nature, you know, because not every reel seat is going to fit on every rod.
Right.
So that's basically the way I was taught. Build it up with some masking tape, and then you fill in the voids and around the masking tape with some of that two-part epoxy. Let it sit. It dries, and it's solid as can be. So, no, that makes sense.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I'm glad I got that wrong, because I think that's a big misconception, you know, that a lot of people think you're just cutting off the butt end. But it makes sense now that you said it, you know. You can score that end butt piece that you have on there with a utility knife, peel it off, a little sandpaper to clean up the rod, and then you're setting up to glue the new retrieval device on. That's perfect. That's beautiful.
Right.
That's awesome.
Now, as a business, it's easier to buy a fishing rod with it already on. That's kind of the next venture. Savior Fishing Rods I'm not even going to call it a trial run. It was just to kind of show that, hey, we can sell these things as a complete fishing rod to the public with this thing already installed, and people like them. And, that's what our next step is. That's where we're going. We're talking to a couple other companies that are, getting them that are going to buy them in hopes to license it, sell their rods with our retrieval devices on them, installed, ready to go.
Gotcha.
So, and that's our next step, and that's where we're heading, and we're making good headway with it. We've got one company, right now called Old 18 Outfitters, and, they're a brand new company. They're a veteran owned company, and, these guys have been building rods for 30 years.
That's awesome.
They built some of the, some very popular fishing rods. I don't know if I can go down their whole name. I don't really want to, because I want to promote, Old 18 with Savior on them. But,
nice.
But yeah, I mean, these guys know how to build fishing rods. what they've done is their production model, which is starts off at $79.95 through them with the Savior on it. And these guys take the Savior and they don't just do like what we were just talking about. And the way we were just talking about how to install them as a retrofit is just fine. But what these guys do is they take and completely build the butt section of that fishing rod around the Savior. So when you call them up and you order a Savior, man, they take and they use the lightest, it's basically Bondo, but it's that makes it lighter than the masking tape and using all the epoxy.
Right.
I mean, they think of everything, you know what I mean? And then they come back and they rewrap the butt section of that rod so that, I mean, it's a seamless fit. I mean, the length, the action, everything stays the same. I mean, it's incredible the way these guys actually do when they do put a Savior on these rods. So
That's super cool.
These guys know how to do it. So, and they're just starting. I mean, they're a veteran-owned company. They're from right down here in Conroe, Texas.
Okay.
And they've been interested in it for quite a while. And we just launched that a couple weeks ago with them doing that. And we've got more companies coming down the pipe too that want to do it too. So that's super exciting for us.
Oh, I bet. I mean, in that price point too. I mean, that's pretty stellar. Starting out at $80, yeah. $80 a rod. Are those available for sale right now?
Yeah, they're available for sale with the retrofits. Not with the retrofits. With the retrieval devices installed on there, that are $120.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
And I think still until January, they've got free shipping on orders above $100.
Oh, wow. Sweet. So. Very cool. Well, I guess from there, you know, you took that retrieval device and also applied it to some other things as well, not just fishing rods. So I know you get it for GoPro mounts, fishing bows or bow fishing bows, and for actual fishing nets, correct?
We haven't done it for fishing nets yet.
Okay.
We've talked about doing that a little bit, but really, the way in what most people what we've really talked about is, you know, Savior is for keeping the performance of the product that you're using, like the fishing rod or the fishing bow, something that you need to perform. And you don't want to wrap a bunch of foam around,
sure,
because the foam deadens the sensitivity of it. We're not going to deaden the sensitivity of a fishing net. So, you know, not saying that we will never do it, but for right now, we're going to concentrate on the camera mounts and the fishing bow retrievers. And we've got more exciting news on the fishing bow side of it. And we're hooking up with Interlock Bow Fishing, and the bow retrievers are going to be offered in their magazine, their catalog this year.
Oh, very cool. Up, so. Very cool.
And well, got Corey Brossman. I don't know if probably not a lot of kayak anglers have heard of Corey Brossman, but he's a big time bow fisherman, that works with Interlock. And, he's been promoting it too. And, it's doing fantastic. So,
well, I think the reason why the net thing came up is I think Scott actually saw something where somebody retrofitted one onto a fishing net, and you know, the guy dropped the net in the water, bobber came up, and the guy got his net back. So I think that's where it came from, because Scott did the show notes tonight, so I'm not going to lie to you guys. But he was telling me about it, and I was like, that's actually a cool thought, because you know, I have a net that actually floats, and I actually had it fall out of my boat once. Granted, it didn't get too far, but I mean, that's a pretty killer idea that, you know, whomever it was that did that, it worked. But the thing that I really like is the GoPro thing, because I mean, I got two GoPro Hero Blacks. I mean, I drop one of those in the drink, that's 300 bones down the drain, so to speak.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And those things are they work so well with all the attachments that you can put on a camera. You know, I mean, you don't have to, it replaces a screw.
Right.
It replaces one of the set screws for your camera.
Right.
So, you know, I hadn't even thought about this. And, you know, this is back a couple of years. I picked up a GoPro to go on a fishing trip with a couple of buddies of mine. And as soon as I picked it up, I was like, I knew instantly what to do with it. You know, I knew instantly how to do it.
Sure.
So it just kind of that whole idea for the GoPro mount evolved in like a day.
Yeah. No, I believe it.
And came home, drew up some attachments, and within about a month, I had the attachments ready to go, and we launched it. I don't know, about a year later, but yeah, did a bunch of testing on them, and because we didn't know how we know how fishing rods sink, and the we wanted to test how GoPro sank and things like that, so that, you know, we covered all our bases before we even launched anything. So
sure,
but yeah, they've been popular. We've been kind of quiet with those. We really haven't had done a lot of promoting those. Because the fishing rod part of it we have so much invested in the fishing rod part of it that, you know, that's been the main focus of it.
Sure.
Those things are just quietly going. You know, I mean, it's like people see it and they're like, okay, I get it. And they like them. So
here's a question for you. As far as the GoPros go, if you're doing underwater footage, is it the same way as the fishing rods where that bobber won't deploy right away? So, you know, you see a lot of guys releasing fish and getting a little bit of underwater action of the fish, you know, hitting the water and taking off. Is the retrieval device on the GoPro mount the same way?
It will.
Okay.
But the a lot of the guys, I mean, yes, it will. The water pressure is going to be the thing that affects it. But I mean, when you're doing that time and time again, it's just, you end up being more susceptible to it setting off. And setting it off isn't always a bad thing. You know, I mean, it's it could mean that you've lost it, you know, or it was going to be lost or something like that.
Sure.
But I mean, and the Jeff Jones, one of my other pro staff guys, he's got one that he runs right down on the water.
Okay.
And I mean, this thing isn't but 4 or 5 inches off the water.
Okay.
And he's got a little dome that he puts it in.
Okay.
And man, he gets some killer shots like that. It's never been something that is meant to stay underwater. It's
sure.
Just meant to, you know, go off when it is in water. Basically.
Gotcha.
So, but now with the depth thing, it's that sounds more complicated than anything.
I mean, that was just my own curiosity as we were sitting here talking about it. I was thinking about it, you know. I mean, obviously, if it's getting wet, right, you take that risk. But I guess my question
you
was
could
just
probably do that. You could probably do that. You could probably do that 100 times and it never go off.
Okay.
But I mean, so yeah, but I mean, you just got to watch the depth, because more than likely when you're fishing, and it's on your fishing rod, you're only going to go in 4, 5, 6 inches.
Sure. Sure.
But you know, with a GoPro, I mean, you're wanting to keep going further and further and further to see the fish.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, because you've got that thing on a wand or an extension of some kind to get that footage. And the further down you push it, the more susceptible it is.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
where you're fishing rod, you're not necessarily keep pushing it down. You're wanting to get it out of the water.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
Very cool. Okay. Sweet. Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, where can folks go to get the retrieval devices and everything of that nature?
www.savioroutdoors.com. SAVUR outdoors.com.
Very cool. And you guys are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, correct?
Mainly just on Facebook.
Okay.
Mainly just on Facebook. It's easier to control for me. So
sure.
That's where we are.
Okay.
The main place.
Very cool. Are you guys going to be at any fishing shows this winter?
You know, we've got some plans to do a couple. We've got some other bigger plans to do some way different things that I really can't announce yet. But it's looking up, man. It's really going to be exciting for 2019, man. I haven't been this excited for a fishing season. Knowing what's going into it in a long time. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm super excited for you guys, man. I mean, you know, you guys made it through in the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards to the second round. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment, so congrats on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully next year you guys are taking home the bread and butter. But
yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah,
that'd be nice, man. I mean, and a lot of it had to do with you know, getting us out there more. I mean, we've had so much traffic to the website, just checking it out to see what it is, and you know, a lot of friend requests to me. But you know, I mean, it's still so new. You know, I mean, the kayak fishing industry is still just kind of, it's still exploding. So I mean,
yeah,
it's getting to the point where, you know, people, guys are spending more money. I mean, look at the boats that are out now, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
they're,
you know, people are spending more money. I mean, guys are more reluctant to spend more money on fishing rods, which is a good thing. And, you know, the platform's still small, you know, because you're one-on-one with the water, you know,
sure.
And one-on-one with the fish. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's never, that part of it's never going to change. You know, so that's a good thing, man. This sport needs to grow. You know, I mean, it's and we got into it at the right time. I mean, me starting to develop this thing 10 years ago was right on time. You know, come to think of it, you know, and trying to get it right. So, I mean, it's exciting, man.
No, I hear you, man. I had a conversation with a gentleman today. You know, kayak fishing, I think, caters more to your average Joe, so to speak. You know, like I put it to him, not everybody can afford a $60,000 bass boat these days. And, you know, but you can get into an awesome kayak for anywhere between $1,000 and $4,000, you know, and have a pretty sweet rig. And like you said, you're one-on-one with the water, one-on-one with the fish, and all that good stuff. And it's, you know, you're seeing all the other aspects of the fishing industry go along with that and explode with that as well. You know, and I can attest to that. You know, we started this podcast just to get info out there about, you know, kayak fishing in general. And I know me and you had a conversation the other night where it's just like we're blowing up, and it's just crazy. We get emails every week from listeners saying thanks, you know, like, you guys hit a topic that I had questions about, or, you know, we get suggestions for topics that guys are questioning and, you know, they want more info on it. So we dig deep into that and try to get that info out there. And, you know, I had heard about Savior before. And then, when I actually met Jay and I saw everything, I'm like, this is genius, you know? So, I mean, that's obviously why we reached out to you, man. We just think it's such a great product, and I think, you know, every fishing rod should have it on it. I know I'm putting it on my rods. I got some rods on order, and I got to get my retrieval devices on this winter. I'm getting them for my GoPros. It's just that extra security to protect that investment that, you know, we all drop a ton of money into. whether we want to admit it to our wives or not, you know, we spend a ton of money, and this simple device just, you know, secures that, you know. I mean, as much as some of the fishing rod manufacturers may not want to hear the fact that you can get your rod after you dump it back, because that means it's losing a rod sale. But, you know, for us, you know.
Oh, they hate me.
I'm sure. But you know what, man?
They hate me.
For us average Joes that are spending our hard-earned money, you know, it just makes sense. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, I probably shouldn't spend this $150 on this rod, but – you know, I can spend an extra 30 in this rod. I know if anything ever happens, I'm going to get it back, you know.
Right.
And especially, I know I had a conversation with Jay, and we have an upcoming guest. Jay was out in Idaho fishing for sturgeon, and the gentleman he was with, his kayak tipped over, and he lost three rods. Guy didn't have Savior retrieval devices on it, and he lost those three rods. And you know, they had a long conversation about it, I guess, after it all happened. And needless to say, I believe the guy is ordering some retrieval devices from you. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was some scary business, and we're going to hear about it, I believe, next week. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you hear every day, kayak anglers, you know. Guy takes a bad wave or not paying attention, falls out of his boat, flips his boat, you know, they're losing half their gear. Well, you know, with this simple, you know, investment into a retrieval device, you're getting all that stuff back if the worst ever happens.
I mean, there's been some events that happened here recently that, you know, I mean, I'd like to think of it, you know, even put rod floats into this category. You know, I mean, the thing is, you know, I'd like to see people look at it also as like a safety feature. You know, I mean, you don't have to make that sudden jerk, especially when the water's cold. You know, I mean,
sure.
Shoot, when the water, when it's 95 degrees outside and the water's 80,
yeah.
I mean, maybe you want to tip the jump out of the kayak.
Right.
But I mean, right now, man, it's not an option, you know?
Right.
And when it comes down to safety on the water, kayak anglers on safety on the water, I mean, you know, I mean, I'd like for people to start thinking of, even if it's not a saver, man, even if you want to invest in a rod float, if you're not bass fishing or something like that, I mean, it's got to be something to where, you know, you're not making that sudden jerk, because I don't care if you're on the most stable kayak in the world, man. I mean, you don't have a lot of room. You know, I mean, and you can be the one falling out. The kayak may not ever tip over.
But, sure.
I mean, you may end up falling out, you know, and for a fishing rod, you know, I mean,
right.
And just to have that added peace of mind on the water, man, it can go a long ways, you know, knowing that, hey, you know, whoops, that rod went in the water, but it's going to come back. And
yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. You know, and that's what makes me sleep easy at night. And it's not the fact that, you know, it's a rod floater or a savior. I mean, it's got to be, you know, a conscious effort to say, listen, man, I mean, we don't need to be jumping in the water when, especially you guys are cold now.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No, I mean, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's got to be, you know, and that's what I'd like to see, is that people look more towards the safety aspect of it. You know, I mean, I know that losing the $150 to a lot of people is a lot of money.
Sure.
It is to me, too. But, I mean, look at, you know, you got to come home, man.
Yeah.
You know, you got kids, you got people who love you. So, I mean,
yeah.
Don't let losing a rod be the thing that does something to get you hurt or something like that. You know, I mean, just that peace of mind is what we want to see, and people be safe. So.
Yeah. No, absolutely, man. That's something that we try to preach all the time, whether it's wearing a PFD or, you know, this
exactly.
time of year wearing a dry suit. I mean, it's no joke. And, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, people are always like, oh, it'll never happen to me. I'll never fall out of my boat. And, you know, it always happens when it's least expected. And, you know, that's when serious stuff happens. And it's like an instance like you're talking about. You almost drop your rod in the water and somebody's jumping in after it almost, you know, and they can lose their life and it ain't worth it, you know. So
I saw a video the other day and I'm probably going to share it here in the next couple of days because I saved it. But, You know, I mean, the guy's first reaction, he was on a bass boat, and his first reaction was to jump in the water. I mean, they're in cold weather gear. You know, I mean, it's like,
ain't but, worth it.
You know, there's ways to save this, man. I mean, even if you're on a bass boat, you know,
sure.
I mean, these things happen. You know,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
we're focusing on the kayak world, but you know, I mean, it's you know, who knows why people go in the water like that, but you know, I get it. You know, you're saving that money.
Sure.
But I mean, the dude comes up, he's ruined his cell phone, lost his keys in the water, I think, you know, it's like,
yeah,
dude, I could have saved the whole thing for you. You didn't even have to do that.
But, right. Oh man.
But no,
I hear you on that, man. I mean, I get out on big boats all the time, and I do some pretty intense walleye fishing with a friend of mine, and we're on Lake Erie, Green Bay, you know, big bodies of water where, you know, we've been out in 4 or 5 foot waves, and you know, it ain't worth it. You know, if the rod goes over, it goes over. You know,
Yep, exactly.
So, I mean, that's a perfect example, like you said, that video, and I can't wait to see it because you know, it's one of those things. Why? I mean, you know, now you can't get in your truck. You're going to pay, what, nowadays $400, $500, $600 for a new cell phone, all that stuff, when you could have put on a savior for, you know, $30, $40 and, you know, not even worried about it.
And if you're fishing a tournament, man, you just wasted half your day on getting warm clothes on.
Yeah, right. There goes your first place prize money.
There it goes, man. $40 could have saved you.
That's awesome. Awesome. Very cool, man. Well, I mean, you got anything to add to this, Corey? I mean, this has been great. I don't know if I missed anything, but if you got anything to add, feel free. And then why don't you plug the website and the Facebook page one more time?
Yep. The website is www.Savioroutdoors.com, and just Savior Outdoors for Facebook, and that'll find us.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Corey, man. This has been a great conversation. For you, all you listeners out there, don't forget to follow us at Paddle, the letter N, in fin.com. I got a new blog post that'll be posted this week regarding planning for tournament fishing next season. So it'll be a good read. Paddle and fin gear is still for sale on the website. Scott renewed the promo code, 10% off your order. Just use promo code PADDLE, and that'll save you 10%. I know I just got a hoodie and a couple more T-shirts in the mail today. Everybody's been, you know, buying some stuff up, so we wanted to renew that promo code going through till the end of Christmas. So if you guys are interested in any of that, feel free to pick it up. So, thanks again, Corey. Until next time, guys, tight lines, smooth paddling, and be safe out there. Thanks.
Hey, I'll add something to that, too, man. We'll do a paddle and fin discount code for Savior, too. Just paddle and fin will save 10%.
Oh, sweet, man. Awesome. So there you go, listeners.
We'll go make that active here in about 10 minutes, and you guys can use those for your stocking stuffers.
Awesome, so, Corey. Thank you so much, man.
We'll just do paddle and fin. Does that sound good, Brian?
Yeah, that'll
all
work,
lower,
man.
All lowercase.
Yeah.
Save you guys 10%.
That's awesome.
All right.
There you go, listeners.
We'll make it good through the first of the year.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. So there you go, guys.
That'll work.
Get out there and get them. You know you need them. So, all right, guys. Until next time. We'll be right back.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.